Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is June 6th, 2014, and I have with me today Brian Chaffin. Brian, woo-hoo! How are you?
I am doing just fine, sir. It is very good to see you. It is ever so good to be on your show.
And it is ever so much my pleasure,
sir.
And then we have the ever lovely Kelly Gaumont. Kelly?
I didn't realize y'all were having accents today, so.
Yeah, apparently it is Accent Friday on Daily Observations.
All right. Excuse me while I sip my sweet tea.
Jeff, you can just use your normal voice, just throw in a few whooshes and things like that.
You know, if it wasn't true, I'd be really pissed off right now.
It's okay, I still expect to be slugged the next time you see me.
The thing is, you won't see it coming.
Yeah, fair enough.
When I put on that giant clown mitten and I lay in on you, you probably see it coming because those mittens are really big. Anyhow, topics for today, I think we'll get us kind of wound up. First up, we have this whole lovers spat or dysfunctional family spat between Verizon and Netflix. And a quick bit of background for those of you playing along at home. Netflix started putting messages up on screen for people who were streaming videos that said, assuming these people were on Verizon's network, that their video stream was stalled and being rebuffered because of the quality of the Verizon network. And I'm paraphrasing there.
I've got it in front of me. It's the Verizon network is crowded right now, adjusting video for smoother playback.
There you go. So Netflix is calling out Verizon in this little on-screen display.
And this is all about net neutrality and Verizon and possibly other providers artificially slowing down the Netflix streaming to customers as a negotiation tactic.
And I would like to point out that he did come back and state that his internet connection is Fios with a speed upgrade. So this is a fiber connection. This isn't like he's on the outer limits of Verizon's DSL network, and so his speeds are generally crap.
And you're virtually talking about the first person that actually...
Yeah, the person who posted the screenshot on Twitter, Yuri Victor. The picture that he posted, there was a reply to it, and he said he has Fios with a speed upgrade. So he totally shouldn't have this kind of problem.
Right. And then Verizon, because of course everyone here is feeling all touchy-feely lovey out of all this, they fire back at Netflix saying, nuh-uh, you guys are having your own problems. And by the way, here's a cease and desist request, and we want you to give us the names of everyone that you've shown this message to.
Yeah. And again, this is all about net neutrality, and this is all about whether or not companies like Verizon and like Comcast and like Time Warner Cable and any other broadband provider in the United States has the right and flexibility to charge big providers such as Netflix or Google or Apple. Mm-hmm. For the right to have full access to their customers, but their customers being the broadband providers' customers,
right?
And the companies like Verizon want to be able to charge Netflix an extra fee to get what they're supposed to be doing in the first place, and which is a complete violation of the concept that we do know of as net neutrality.
And then they also want to be able to charge customers for the same sort of thing. So maybe it, not only am I paying $8 a month to Netflix to get access to Netflix, but then they also want, Comcast wants to have a with Netflix line item on my bill so that I pay another $10 a month to them in order to get access to this fast lane, which is the thing everybody calls it, that they set up so that Netflix can get data to me quickly. So what they, that's what they really want to do is they want to go, oh, you need to upgrade your cable plan. You need to pay us more money than you already do. And it doesn't matter if you don't like it because we're the only game in town.
How again does that equal net neutrality?
Well, it doesn't. And Netflix is the company, I'm sorry, Verizon, forgive me, Netflix, Verizon is the company that sued the FCC over its regulations because they don't want net neutrality. Verizon does not want net neutrality. Verizon is against the idea that all data should be treated equally and that they basically have a job to do, which is to provide a pipe to customers.
And a
to
dumb let
their,
pipe.
A dumb pipe and let their customers choose what data they're getting.
Which and, fascinates me because they're a phone company. That's how they started.
Well, yeah. I suppose. I mean, but, you know, Harley-Davidson started off as a bicycle company, and what doesn't really matter much today.
Right. But the whole reason there is a Verizon is as a result of all the phone companies splitting up. And, you know, none of the people, when it was pay Verizon for a landline service before they were rolling it into cable and home security and whatever kind of crap they will also additionally offer you. I find it really interesting that they started there like recently, not like 100 years ago, like not that long ago. And they're still, and that, you know, it obviously if they hadn't made any money providing a dumb old landline to people, you know, service over a dumb old landline, then it wouldn't have been a problem. I'm just, yeah.
Now we also have the added issue of how is the FCC dealing with situations like this? And if their current actions are an indication, it sure looks like what's going to happen is the FCC will say, okay, everyone, you can start charging whoever, whatever you want to get content to come through, in a manner of speaking, and then we'll just call that net neutrality.
Yeah, and part of this is because, and I don't understand this from a political basis. The Obama administration chose a carrier lobbyist to head the FCC.
Going old school, that's like hiring the fox to tend the chicken house.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, to set the rules for when the chicken house gate can be accessed by the other foxes.
And isn't the actual panel of people at the FCC all people with some sort of ties, whether it was they worked for a cable company proper or they lobbied for a cable company? Didn't all of them have some sort of direct paycheck tie
to a provider?
I want to say that was all of them.
I don't know that. And the FCC has far broader regulatory responsibility than just this particular area, but this is
right.
This is definitely an important area. This is actually about the freedom of information and access to information at its heart, and it's a very, very, very serious issue. And Verizon doesn't want any PR over what they're doing. They want to be able to choke Netflix in order to force Netflix to pay the same kind of bribes that Netflix is playing to Comcast right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that sure doesn't sound like the spirit of net neutrality to me.
It's not.
But I mean, Verizon makes no bones about the fact that they're not interested in net neutrality.
Right. But they're
not hiding behind the mantle of net neutrality.
No. And I think it's really funny that they thought a cease and desist was going to keep this quiet.
Right. And for people that don't get what that means, it's not a legally binding document. It is a letter. I could write a letter to Brian telling him to cease and desist on making fun of the way I say strawberry and warsh.
But to be fair, you have.
Yes. And see, and this proves the point because you still do it.
I know, but I love you.
Yeah, I know. And I love you too. So anyhow,
the point is nothing has to happen. And what's funny about it is that a cease and desist order is just me saying, no, really, I mean it. And you don't have to do anything. You are under no obligation. But what's funny about that is that what most people do with cease and desist orders is publicize them, because they say, guess what? We must be onto something because somebody else is telling us to knock it the hell off. And it really entertains me, because I really think it's funny that Verizon sent a cease and desist and sort of figured that that was going to be the end of it. Like, what did they really think was going to happen? That Netflix was going to just roll over and go, oh gosh, sorry, here's everybody we sent that notice to?
I don't think Verizon expected that to happen. I don't think Verizon cares. Verizon doesn't want any publicity over this. They want to squelch this activity. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that Verizon has always been brazen in its contempt for both its customers and regulatory framework. And I think that this is merely the first step towards a lawsuit, that they will probably sue Netflix over this.
I agree completely that this was a posturing move that was necessary to lay the foundation for future litigation.
I think if it was just the letter, if it had just said, stop showing that message, it would be one thing, but stop showing that message, and while you're at it, tell us everybody that you showed it to, is the thing that for me, you know, was sort of the line that they crossed. Netflix came back after getting this letter. Netflix came back and said, we think it's important for people to be aware that their broadband provider is not providing what they're paying for. And that's an important conversation.
Yes. And okay, we could go on forever talking about this. But there's another topic that I want to hit before we wrap up today.
This is totally not over, and we will cover it on the site. So keep in mind, if you want to know what the latest is with that, we'll have it.
There you go. Okay, so another thing that I wanted to hit is another case where we have companies being kind of cranky with each other. There's a company in Australia called HealthKit, and they provide a service where you can aggregate the data that your various fitness and health tracking devices collect, and then you can see it all in one location and then share that with your doctors, which sounds very much like Apple's HealthKit that will be part of iOS 8. And the Australian company is saying, hey, Apple stole our name.
Yeah, and Apple did steal the name. I think that there's very little chance that Apple didn't know that HealthKit existed. It's kind of par for the course for Apple. Apple has a long history of using names that are copyrighted by other companies and you know, just dealing with it later. In some cases, just, you know, continuing to use it.
Yes, and I think that's exactly what's happening here. And for some people, that will be a very bitter pill to swallow, because everyone likes to, well, a lot of people like to think of Apple as this friendly, altruistic company, but there's this part of them where they will act in ruthless business tactics. And in this case, we're seeing a common practice for them. You find a name you want, you just start using it. Then you deal with it later on, and you pay someone off or you just continue to use it and call it good.
Yeah, iTools would be one of the first examples of that. iTools being a long established set of Mac server tools long before Apple started using it for the service that eventually became .Mac, that eventually became MobileMe, that eventually became iCloud.
Right. And they've done that with other names too.
iPhone.
Yes,
iPhone. iCloud.
Who had iCloud?
Was it Cisco?
Cisco had iPhone.
Cisco had iPhone.
Oh, yeah. iPhone. Okay.
iCloud had iCloud.
There's a company called iCloud.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems like... Yeah.
Or it's okay. It's either the company was iCloud or the company's primary product was iCloud. Either way, it was like the flagship name for the company.
Yeah.
And in the case of Rendezvous, they actually did have to change the name to Bonjour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, they've been able to keep the whatever names they want.
Yeah. And this is an aspect of Apple that I don't care for in any way, what fashion whatsoever. I don't know that they, I mean, you know.
They're going with Guy Kawasaki's philosophy. It's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
It's true.
Precisely.
It's true.
And to be like, I'm not saying that this is the right thing to do, but to be fair, if they had gone and tried to negotiate with this company in Australia, we would have heard about it.
It's true.
And maybe they didn't want it to be heard about. And that's why we got all that health book stuff earlier this year.
Right.
Oh, yep. That could be. Yeah. All right. So the moral of that story is we can love Apple, but it doesn't mean that they'll always show everyone else love too.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah. Precisely.
All right. On that happy note, we have to wrap up. So Brian, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And Kelly, thank you too.
You're more than welcome.